So that all I'm going to do today is to tell you my Purim story, the Purim story that I give every year. That way, I'll be able to prepare myself for tomorrow when I tell it to the yeshiva, Be'ezus Hashem. Actually, the Purim story is not mine. It was found. It's just I'm just reporting back to the Talmidim about a something which they found in the Upper Galil. A week ago, they were newspaper clippings from the Persian Jewish press. The Persian Jewish press. I called it the Jewish press because the Jewish press was always in a mess. The Persian Jewish press, and these are newspaper clippings that were found there, right? Now, there seems to be something which is threatening the Jewish community, which is threatening the Jewish community. What is it? Well, it goes like this. This is all reporting from the press. It goes like this. There's the king, Ahasuerus, is throwing a party. He's throwing a party. And he invited all of Shushan Habira to come to the party, right? Now, the question that the press is faced with is that there is some opposition to us attending the party. And the Persian Jewish Congress is debating, should we be allowed, should we convince the Jewish people that they have to attend the party, or can we just stay at home and then not bother attending the party, right? So actually, this article has several interviews. Has several interviews. The first interview was with Professor Dr. Lieberman, Professor Dr. Lieberman. And he didn't hesitate. He said right away, the Haredim are at fault. The Haredim, they must be at fault because they're always blamed. Haredim are always blamed. If they're always blamed, they must be at fault. You know, there's a war in the South. Haredim are at fault. There are fires in California. Of course, the Haredim are at fault. There are problems with the budget in the Knesset. Yeah. The Haredim and the yeshivas are at fault, right? So that's what Professor Dr. Lieberman has to say about the present political budgetary situation. Right now we did interview the social director of the court, the social director of the court of Ahasuerus. And we asked him the question, do you think it's absolutely necessary for the Jewish people to attend this party? Right? So his answer was very, very enlightening. He said, this is not a stop tea party. No, no way. This party goes for 180 days. 180 days, that's a big party, even for Neve guys, that's a big party. 180 days, right? But they said there's other interesting things that you have to know about this special party. Wine. They served wine. The wine they served was a year older than everybody whose goblet they were filling. It was if you they you came there to get some wine, they asked you how old were you, and they gave you wine which was a year older than you were, right? So that's very special wine, okay? Also, they didn't just have stop cups, they had gold cups. Gold cups, and no two cups were alike. Every one was unique. In this party, you know, the parties go on, so they drag on. So it's very good at the beginning, but then it sort of peters out. Excuse the expression. It peters out. Last year, And the last days were just as lavish as the first. The last days of this party was just as lavish as the first, right? Not only that, but no cup was reused. Right? Some say they were allowed to keep the cups, right? Okay. So you see that it's going to very much harm the social position of the Jewish community if we don't attend this party. Such lavish preparations. The king is bound to be furious if we don't appear. So the social director thinks that that for the sake of our people, we have to show up at the party. We have to party. Okay, the next person we went was Professor Kissinger of the Persian Congress. And we asked him, what is your political insight to this issue? Do you feel politically that we are, that we must attend? Or do you feel politically that it really doesn't matter? So I said, listen, I got to give you a little bit of a education. You know, I have to introduce you to some concepts. Before I answer your question, I have to tell you the difference between a constitutional monarchy and a absolute monarchy, right? I want to tell you the difference between constitutional monarchy or a absolute monarchy. The absolute monarchy, of course, that's what the prime minister thinks he's doing, but all right. Now, let me tell you the difference. It's like this. In the constitutional monarchy, the king is the guardian of the people. He's a leader of the people. He fortifies and builds a state. That's a constitutional monarchy. In the absolute monarchy, the people are the servants to the king, right? People serve the king, right? That's an absolute monarchy. The people serve the king. Okay. Again, now, and in a constitutional monarchy, so the king has to listen to his advisors. If his advisors give certain advice, the king has to take that into consideration, right? And there's a Congress, right? That they have to follow, the king has to follow the advice of the Congress and the policies that the Congress sets, right? In an absolute monarchy, the king decides what he wants to do and does what he wants to do. He does everything he wants to do. Just like the prime minister of Israel. Everything he wants to do, he does, right? In an absolute monarchy, in a constitutional monarchy, you can change the capital. The capital, you can change it. You want a different city, you can change it. In an absolute monarchy, you can't change it. You can't change the capital. In a constitutional monarchy, so you have to get. You control the people, the government controls the capital, controls the treasury, right? All the financial issues. But in an absolute monarchy, the king only controls the capital. Yeah. Okay. Now, what is happening here, said Professor Kissinger, is the following. Haman is trying to become an absolute monarch. Until now, he was only a constitutional monarch. Now he's trying to become an absolute monarch. He wants absolute power. Power often goes to the heads of leaders, and then they become prime ministers. But he wants absolute power, right? So look what he did, right? He wants Ahasuerus. Haman wants Ahasuerus to make Ahasuerus into an absolute monarchy. Yeah. So like this. He invited the dignitaries close to him before the Congress officials, right? In other words, he wanted to show that the Congress really doesn't have power and he's in charge of them. He's the one in control. So if you look at the invitations there in the Megillah, he invited the people that were close to him, his own people, his own friends, his own dignitaries. He invited them. And then afterwards, he goes and invites the officials of the Persian Jewish Congress. Like, Mamish putting down the Persian Jewish Congress. Whoa, whoa. They're subservient, right? But look, he's showing he gave out gold cups to everybody. Now, that the treasury didn't agree to that. So he's showing that he's in charge of the treasury and not the members of Knesset. They're not in charge of the treasury, right? He changed the capital, by the way. The capital was in Tiberias, and he changed it to Shushan. That's what he did. So you see, this is what Haman is trying to do. He's trying to become an absolute dictator, right? Okay, that's what the political. So what he would say? What do I understand from that? You can't go against his political approach. You have to understand what he wants to do, and you have to go along with it. You have no choice, but you have to go to the party and pledge allegiance to to Haman. Okay. Then we spoke to the court psychiatrist. The court psychiatrist, right? Court psychiatrist says, listen, this fellow Haman and this fellow Achashverosh, he has a bad temper. He has a very bad temper, right? You see, I'll prove it to you. I'll prove he has a bad temper. You see, the queen didn't come before him. He wanted the queen to come without her clothes, and she said she's afraid of catching a cold. So he got so upset at the queen that he lost his head. Or, I mean, actually, she lost her head, but she lost her head because he lost his head. You know what I mean, right? That's the court psychiatrist. He said that if you don't go to this Persian Jewish Congress, if you don't go to this party, you don't go to this party, I think you need your head examined. Right, it's only $1,000 per hour, but I think you need your head examined if you don't come, if you don't go to the party because the Ahasuerus has a very bad temper. And like I said, when the queen didn't want to come to the party, he lost his head, and she lost her head. You understand? So if you want to get ahead, you have to come to the party. Okay. Now that's the story. Let's ask ourselves, what would have been here in the Persian Jewish Congress? We have the court psychologist. We have Professor Dr. Lieberman. We have the court's political advisor, and we have the court's social advisor. All of them say that we should attend the party that Achashverosh is throwing. What would have happened if we didn't go to the party? What would have happened if we hadn't gone to the party? I mean, why are we not going to the party? Because Mordechai, who always makes political trouble. He's one of those Haredim that are to blame because they're the only ones to blame, and they make all the kinds of trouble for the government, right? He says they shouldn't go because you're going to cause Pischon Peh leSatan. What kind of a reason is that? Pischon Peh leSatan? You have here a political leadership, social director leadership, Knesset leadership. Everyone says you should go. And you tell me because of Pischon Peh leSatan, you should stay at home and not attend. What would have happened What would have happened if we hadn't gone? Yeah, that's the question. And that is a Purim story. That's a Purim story. There wouldn't have been a Purim. Mashiach would have come. Mashiach would have come. We'd be in Yerushalayim. We'd be dancing and singing Ad Lo Yoda in Yerushalayim. And okay, it's not too late. Let's hope it's tonight. Let's hope it's during the week. Let's hope it's before Shushan Purim. But all of us together should be dancing in Yerushalayim with
Mashiach Tzidkenu. Amen. Amen.
Okay, guys, thank you for letting me enjoy myself and tell over a story I've told over a few times. Many times.
Shkach
I hope you enjoyed it.
Mash. To the Rebbetzin. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. She's feeling much better, but it looks like she's going to be there for a while, and I'm hoping not, but it looks like she might have a Shushan Purim. Oh, look at that. The host is spotlighted your video for everyone. It's about time.
Looks like my phone is powered back on, Rebbe.
Yeah, but you know, you had me in a corner over there the whole time, but I still gave a share.
No, everybody else was able to see Rebbe normally because for them, whoever's speaking fills the screen, but only Rebbe didn't see it this way. I
Ah,
apologize.
okay. Oh,
It
so there's
died
no
right as
problem.
I was trying to spotlight. It died on me.
I don't need to see myself. I'm a lot healthier if I don't.
Okay, so it's finished, Rebbe. Rebbe's done, or?
Yeah, we finished the Purim story.
Okay, great. Okay, so
Rabbi.
I'll hop it for a podcast.
Refuah shalem up for your wife, Rabbi.
Amen. Thank you very much. Amen. Thank you, guys. We appreciate your
Meanwhile.
tefillahs. They're very important. They're very important. Keep them coming.
Thanks, Mosh.
Okay. Okay, fellas. Have a great one. And Purim Sameach, everybody. Everybody should have Purim Sameach.